Yeah, praise the Lord for that message and song tonight. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Boy, we're thinking this whole week, Easter Sunday coming up, the Resurrection Sunday, and praying and asking God to work in the lives of all those that will be here in the church, that the message will go out and it will penetrate hearts and minds, just having the right message God has for the people. And so you just trust you'll just continue to pray as well that we will have the right message as a church, and the music and congregational singing, the attitude of all the people that'll, all the membership of the church, and then the visitors coming in, we'll just experience just a hallelujah service this coming Sunday. Looking forward to it. Joshua chapter 1. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together tonight. We're in the study of the life of Joshua, and we studied the Joshua the man, studied the idea that Joshua was chosen by God and mentored by Moses. Then last week, Joshua received a charge from Moses right before Moses would pass off the scene. And then after Moses passed off the scene, he received a charge from God. And we ended with that with Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, and the beginning of verse 2. So let's go ahead and read now Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Then shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you, we thank you for your precious holy word that we have before us, and that we can assemble together and study, and as we worship you and sing praises to your name, we can hear messages from your word that we can apply to our lives. I pray tonight, God, that we would do just that. I pray that you'd help us to put everything else out of our hearts and minds and just focus on this passage of scripture that we read tonight. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here that the charge from God for Joshua to arise and go was the best thing to do after Joshua's great loss of Moses. It was the best thing to do. And not only is it the best thing to do for Joshua, but as we continue, I mean, God is addressing Joshua, but then by addressing Joshua, he brings up those in whom Joshua is going to influence, those whom he would impact their lives. And so we find here in verse 2, after he tells Joshua, Moses thy servant is dead, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, He says, thou and all this people, all this people. Joshua looked and needed to look to the people that God had placed him over to lead. And what was best for Joshua was to be found in the will of God. And as Joshua would be found in the will of God, then Joshua would be looking for the purpose that God had for him on this earth. Now, this is a story, and we're learning from this Bible character, but well, we can surely apply all of those principles to our lives as well. Amen. It would be the best thing for all this people. Joshua's obedience would impact all the children of God. Wow. Of course, Old Testament and understanding that God had chosen his children were the nation of Israel, and they were to represent God to the whole world. And we look at that today and we think how that all God's people today is all born-again believers, all that claim the name of Christ, and how that they need to be impacted by those in whom God has called to impact their lives. Pastors, no doubt, Sunday school teachers, church workers, deacons, laborers. We look around the globe today, we find missionaries, and there's so many that would be Joshua's because God has prepared them to impact other people's lives. And the way that they impact other people's lives is to be obedient to God's will for their lives. Joshua's obedience would impact all the children of God's. Now, our lives, in or out of God's will impact others. For good. And I trust that we have that desire. I trust that we would want to impact other people's lives for good. But if we are not impacting other people's lives for good, then more than likely we're going to be used to impact other people's lives for evil. Without even realizing that's what they're doing. But my life in God's will is what actually God is presenting to Joshua. Your life in God's will. Look to the people that I've given you influence over. Because it will impact all this people. All this people. See, in God's will, we will not steal. In God's will, we will not kill. In God's will, we will not destroy. Now, you understand that's exactly what the devil is going to try to influence his will on people's lives to do those things, to steal, kill, and destroy. In God's will, we will not sin against others. We will not join with others to sin. We will not be greatly influenced more by people than will be greater influenced by God and God's word. I do a lot of, and over through the years, a lot of different counseling and a lot of different situations. One of the things that I try to encourage people to do, and that is, you're coming to me for Christian counseling. I'm a pastor of the church. Now, I might be able to give some financial advice, but that's not my main thing that I'm doing. I might be able to give you some other principles that are biblically related, but I'm a pastor. I am going to influence you. I'm going to counsel you the Word of God. And I can help you to know what God's will is for your life, because I can reveal to you God's revealed will. And if you understand God's revealed will, then you are a step closer to His personal will for your life. Some people want to know God's personal will for their life, but because they're not in God's revealed will, they never come up with and they never find the personal will of God for their lives. You have to acknowledge God, and you have to, first of all, understand that the revealed will of God is revealed. It's the Bible. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. It's His life. It's His example. God's revealed will is so important because that's what you need to yield to. And once you are yielding to the revealed will of God, then God will start opening up the doors and revealing to you the personal will of God. And so as a pastor, I'm going to try to help you to understand God's revealed will for your life, so that you might understand that you can go farther than that, that you might be able then to apply God's personal will for your life. In relationship situations where there's problems in relationships, you need to make the statement, and you need to make sure that you hold on to this one thing, is if this relationship fails, it's not going to be my fault, because I am going to make sure that I am doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to make sure that I find myself in God's revealed and His personal will for my life. Because if I'm in God's will for my life, then I will be an encouragement to others. Too often we want to blame other people. You have a problem in a relationship, you want to blame the other person. And that's wrong. We need to look first and foremost to what we can control, and look into our own selves, and say to ourselves, am I in the will of God? This relationship might fail, but I'm going to make sure that it's not because of me. I want to make sure that I'm doing all that I can do, and that is to be in the perfect will of God, His revealed will of God, and even as I go forward in His personal will of God. Because in God's will, you'll not steal, you'll not kill, you'll not destroy or sin against others. Amen. Yeah. So we find here that God is now, He'd been preparing him all through Moses, mentoring all the years in the wilderness, all the different things we studied up to this point. Moses is now gone. He's addressing Joshua, and he says, arise and go, because the best thing for you, but not only you, Joshua, it's not all about you. It is the best thing for you, but look to all the people. Because your obedience to my will, to my word, will impact everyone else. Then he goes on and he says, not only do you need to do this for the people, but it's the right time to do it. Sometimes we know what's right to do, but we think, the timing's just not right now for me to go and ask for forgiveness. The timing's not right for me to bring up this situation. The timing's not right for me to make this move. Whatever it might be, again, you have to look to God for not only to be obedient to His will, but also to look to Him for the timing of applying it to your life. Whatever He says to do, then do it, realizing if God's telling you to do it, it's the right time. And so he says here concerning that, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. The time to go into this land is ready.
In verse 2, he says, again, before verse 3, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. It's the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. This is what it's going to be. It's all these, this whole outline of the land that God is going to give them. It's time to go. You've been preparing yourself. I've been preparing you for it. The time for the decision now is now go. Moses was gone, so the position that needed to be filled, that God wanted Joshua to fill, if you remember, he was not to be Moses, but he was to take the position. The position is something that we need to honor, no matter who's in that position. Now, we hope and pray that the right person is always going to be in that position, but you have to make sure that you understand the position that God has given and honor the position. I think when we pray for the leadership of our nation, you have to honor the position of leadership. You really do. It's kind of sometimes it's harder than others, but you have to honor that position, and you pray, do God's will in praying for that position. Because that's God's will. So I find it hard for me to do that. It's God's will. Do it. And do it now. The timing was the position needed to be filled. Joshua, fill it. The people were ready. They weren't ready the first time. When Moses was going to take them in 40 years earlier, they weren't ready. God sent them back out into the desert. Now, I don't know that Joshua was ready. Moses had not made the mistake that he was going to make as they're going back into the wilderness. He could have led them into the promised land the first time, but all that changed when the people weren't ready to go in, and they rebelled. Now the people are ready. There's a different spirit. It's a new generation. It's more, this generation is more godly than the last generation. This generation has been raised to do one thing, that's to go into the promised land. After the failure of the generation before them, and Moses and Joshua being the leadership there as they went back into the wilderness, the whole time they were in the wilderness, they were preparing them to go back and then to go into the promised land. So this generation had been raised with this one thing in mind. This is God's will for our lives, is we're going to go and we're going to possess the land of Canaan. So Joshua, yeah, Moses is gone, you're here. It's right time for you to take the position. The people, it's the right timing for the people because their spirit is, they have faith to be able to go into the promised land. To claim what God has given to them. The time for this decision was now. The Jordan River was ready. Was it? Now, to some, they would have said, no way. If the river was ready, it would be dry, where we could go over on dry ground. But they're looking at this time, and to go over Jordan would be physically impossible with what they had to work with. There were no bridges. They didn't have boats. And at this particular time, it was flooded. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 15, let me just read it to you. The Bible says, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. And in the land, it was the time of the harvest. All right, God, I agree everything else, but wait a minute. It's not the right time. Because it's not going to be very convenient trying to go over the Jordan River when it's overflowing its banks. Wow. Isn't that what we're reading right here? He's telling Joshua, all right, he said, your obedience is important. It's going to impact the people. I prepared you. The position's open. I prepared the people. Everything is going the way that I've planned it. It's time for you to go now. Even Jordan is prepared. Jordan was just where God wanted it to be. Because Israel needed to have faith. Israel needed to know that you're not conquering the land on your power. You're possessing the land because I gave it to you. You can't split the Jordan River, but I can. And I want you to gain even greater faith. And so it's just where I want it to be. Wow. See, as we trust in God's timing, we need to go when God says go. We need to act when God says act. It's not always the most convenient time. Not only was it where it needed to be for Israel, it was where it needed to be for how God was going to defeat the inhabitants of the land. He was going to defeat the inhabitants of the land through the fear of their God, Israel's God. The inhabitants of Canaan were trusting in Jordan to be impossible to cross. And later on, we're going to find not only did they think that they had the Jordan River and they trusted that it was too powerful for any army to cross to come into Canaan, but they also thought that the walls of the city were going to be strong enough to protect them. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but right now, it's the very beginning. It's the very beginning of Joshua having the commandment and the people being ready, the timing being just exactly the time that God wanted them to act. And now they just needed to act because stop thinking about the difficulty of it. God has a plan for the difficulty of it, not only to strengthen your faith, but also to defeat the enemy. To help them to see that Israel's God is the only true God. Yeah. So we find that this was God's instructions concerning his will for Joshua and the people. Once they understood the instructions concerning God's will, then he would also give them promises associated with obedience to God's will. It's easier to surrender to the obedience if you know that there are blessings associated with it. Raising children, you know, the human nature. When you associate blessings with it, it's easier for them to do what you're asking them to do. Sometimes you have to also associate judgment with it. But you would hope that the blessings would be enough. I want to bless you. If you just do this, you can have it. Now, if you don't, listen to me. You're still not going to get your way. You're just going to have to get it done with a spanking or whatever it might be, with discipline. The promises associated with God's will, first of all, the gift of the promised land. Verse 2, unto the land which I do give them, I'm going to give it to you. And then he outlines it. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. When you're going to tread on this as you go over, this is going to be your property. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. It's yours. The gift of the promised land was exactly what they needed. They didn't have a homeland. They had been living in the wilderness. They didn't have a land to call their own. They had been in the wilderness dreaming of the blessings of the promises of God. And now it was this, it was upon them. It would be exactly what they needed. You know, the Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. God says, this is the promise that I'll give you if you'll just believe in me. If you'll believe in me and call upon me, then I'll give you everlasting life. It's what you need. Whether you realize it or not, you're on your way to a devil's hell if you're not saved. But God says, I'll give you a promise. I'm going to give you a promise of a gift of everlasting life if you'll just do what I tell you have to do to receive it. Amen. That is. That's. We find it with the book of Joshua. And Joshua, God's telling Joshua, this is my will. This is what I want you to do. These are the promises you can associate with obedience. If you trust in me, call upon me, I'll give you the gift of the promised land. Now, the promised land is not heaven. It's symbolic in the Old Testament for the will of God. The will of God is for you to be saved. It was more than just salvation, though, because the gift of the promised land would also represent everything. Everything that they would need to live the Christian life in the promised land. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 down to verse 4, we find this New Testament. Well, God tells us of a promise that he'll do for us once you get saved. Once you look to live the Christian life, have a desire to live the Christian life, God says, I'll give you what you need to live the Christian life. If you just continue to obey me and look to me. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us. Okay, we have the knowledge of God, we've received Christ. According to his divine power, God's power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the kind of life that God wants you to live, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God says, promises. This is the will of God for your life. Whether you think it's convenient or not, everything's ready. It's time for you to go ahead and go, to rise up from where you're at and to look to God and just to be obedient and go and accomplish what God has you there to accomplish. And as you look to accomplish what God has you there to accomplish, you can hold on to the promises. The land will be yours. Be yours. It's what you need. And it's what you need not only now, but it's what you need for the future. To live your lives in God's will. So the promise associated with God's will was the gift. And with the gift, God's presence. The gift of what you need,
the gift of being able to sustain you in the land. And while you're being sustained, then you got the promise of my presence all my life, all your life, Joshua, all your life, children of God in his will. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. All my life. The promise of the presence of God. Wow. I think that's echoed in the book of John by the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 14. And I'm not going to be much longer here, so just kind of plug in with me, stay plugged in. John chapter 14, very familiar passage of scriptures, especially in concerning New Testament Christianity and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, which was mystery of the Old Testament. But he says in John chapter 14 and verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you for all your life." All your life. A promise of God. His presence. Chapter 16 of the book of John, we find that Jesus would also present this. It's somewhat the very same thing, only New Testament presentation of God's presence with God's people. In chapter 16 of the book of John, in verse 12, it says this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What a blessing it is to know that we have God's presence and we have God's insight into things to come. And at any point, if you want to just get alone all with God, God's in you. His presence is there. Being able to just be aware of God's presence no matter what, that's a promise. And that's something that'll help us. Moses is gone, but God's still alive. Jesus has resurrected, but the Holy Spirit is here. We have God's promise of his presence and his help. He says, I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This is what God's telling Joshua, preparing him to be the leader that he needed to be, because his being in obedience to God would impact the entire nation of Israel being in the will of God and understanding the promises of God and what God had given them. I will not fail thee. If you will, he's saying, I'll not fail to live up to my promises. You can count on it. You can trust in it. All three. The gift. Are you holding on to the promise that's associated with the gift of salvation? That's something that no matter what we're going, whatever's going on in our lives, I have this promise of God
that I have everlasting life, that I am God's child. No one's going to be able to pluck me out of his hands. I cannot lose that because God has given it to me. Don't fear losing something that God gave you. Just be thankful for it. Be aware of it. It's a gift. They get the promised land. It's what they needed. Not only that, but they had all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. We have that promise that God will give us all things that pertain unto life, which the life that we are not now living, as long as we're looking to live it godly, in the will of God. God will enable you to live the Christian life the way God wants you to live the Christian life. And if you're living the Christian life in obedience to Him, then you will be a positive influence on others. And your life will matter. Your life does matter. You have the gift of all things pertaining to life and godliness. And we have the awareness of His presence. That was the promises. And they're echoed to us in this 21st century. There's something about the presence of God. Individually, you ought to be able to experience that. Prayer and fasting. One of the most important things you get out of prayer and fasting is an awareness of God. Because you're spending more time in prayer, in communication with God. And every time that you're reminded of what it is that you're sacrificing, that which you would like to have, but I am not partaking of this right now because I desire the closeness of God more than what I desire that cup of coffee. And that's just an awareness. Most of the time, we can fast food all day for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. We might be able to fast whatever. The fast is whatever God might lay upon your heart. And during this month, it's a month of awareness of just things that you can fast. Things that as you fast them, what will it do for you? It will help you. If you're fasting with the right spirit, with the right understanding of it, it's going to help you to sense the presence of God. One of the reasons that I have so appreciated church, because I know as long as we do it the way God wants us to have church, His presence is here. That's why we keep it. We keep doing things the way that we want. I believe that God would have us to do things. We keep having church the way that God designed us to have church, the way that Jesus established His church. Because if we continue to have His word, if we continue to do His word, do His will, He's here. There am I in the midst. And there's something about sensing God's presence in this place. it's a shot in the arm. It's that pick-me-up that I need. That's why you come back Sunday night. That's why you come back in this crowd Wednesday night. Amen. There's just something about being in a biblical church, experiencing the presence of God. God in verse 6 through 9, we're done here tonight, but next week, God gives them expectations. God's expectations of Joshua. Be strong 3 times, of a good courage 3 times. Divide the land. Do according to all the law. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. We're going to be studying those next week because this is all of what God expects from Joshua and the nation of Israel. And you'll find that these are the very same principles of God's expectation of our lives. And it's important in any relationship to have established expectations one of another. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to read and study the life of Joshua. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. A lot of good biblical principles here that carry on into this New Testament church age that were taught by Jesus Christ, established as His will for His church. Invitation, we'll have a brief invitation of God spoke to you tonight. An invitation is an opportunity to respond. You can respond where you're at. You can come to this altar. But acknowledge it. Acknowledge it before an almighty God who knows what's going on inside of you and knows what was presented from His word in this message. Father, we bow before You tonight. Love You. Thank You, Lord, again for Your church, for Your people, for this opportunity to be in church and to experience Your presence and to understand and have Your word preached. I pray that You just continue to work Your message into our hearts and lives. Help us to make whatever decisions that You would have us to make. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.